Welcome to Postscript. My name is Dave, one of the pastors here at Compass Point. If you are tuning into Postscript for the first time, or you haven't heard us talk about what this is before, this is our chance here at Compass to talk about the sermon, to have some conversations, to get to ask some questions and maybe answer them, maybe just kind of explore some ideas. So we are excited to do that today. And with me is Pastor Paul Eastwood.
Hey.
Hey. Are you excited, Paul?
I am excited. Yeah, this is going to be great to get into.
So we started on Sunday this series called The Promise of Heaven.
Yeah.
Talking about this big subject that we both think about a lot and don't think about a lot and like have answers for and don't have answers for.
Yeah.
So we're going to spend a bit of time talking about what you said on Sunday, but also answering some questions that have come in.
Yeah.
Do you want to give us a little recap from Sunday?
Yeah. So really, you know, we started the series talking about why does it matter? You know, what's the point? And I think I really want to be clear as we get started with this, that, you know, for a lot of people, you know, their perspective or their idea of heaven is really fuzzy. And we're really good at like thinking about things like there's this theological term called eschatology, which is the study of all things. We like to talk about, the study of end times. So we like to talk about end times. We like mm-hmm. to talk about what it's going to look like and what's going to happen with the moon on the day that happens or whatever, all these different
as
things.
As we record on solar eclipse day.
Yeah, exactly. So with all of those things, you know, going on, I really want us to spend some time thinking about heaven, specifically heaven, and not necessarily focusing on all of the things that'll happen before necessarily, mm-hmm. but what will happen, you know, once heaven, in heaven. And, you know, the way that I think about this is imagine you are an astronaut and you're getting into a spaceship and you're on your way to Mars and, you know, you're loading in, the propellant's going and the thing starts shaking and you're about to take off and you turn to the astronaut beside you and you say, hey, I wonder what Mars is going to be like. That would never happen. You would obviously do all kinds of research to know what is it going to look like? What's my final destination going to look like before I take off, right? And, you know, for many of us, when you really dig into it, and I think you can even test yourself by saying, what do I believe? What happens when I die?
Yeah.
When we start wrestling with that, we start to realize, wait, I don't really have a really clear picture here. And I think that's kind of amazing because you would think that this would be the kind of thing that we would want to know lots about. Mm-hmm. But I think that the reason that this happens where we just don't really have a full understanding is because we've got it pretty good here on Earth. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's pretty clear that in the history, especially even if you look at the early church, when Paul was writing to churches that were struggling and just absolutely in the throes of all kinds of sorrow and hardship and difficulty, heaven was on their mind a lot. But here in Canada and North America in 2023, you know, it's like, oh, I'll get to that one day.
It's 2024, but that's okay.
Yeah, and we think I'll get to that one day, but it's, you know, what it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yeah, so that leads us to kind of one of the questions that came in, mm-hmm. asking about escapism, right? So like you've pointed out the fact that like stuff here is pretty good, which is probably why we don't think more about heaven, and we're more interested kind of in the journey there than like what it's actually like.
Yeah.
But like on the flip side, there has been this tendency in history and maybe, you know, people who are like, nothing here matters. It's all going to burn anyway. Who cares? Right. Doesn't matter how I live. Like missionaries can do their thing, but I'm good. I'm just going to enjoy myself. And like, I've got the promise of heaven. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
What's your response to something like that? How is it, like you've said on Sunday, a picture of heaven helps us live here and now better and more fuller, not
right
in an escapist way?
Okay, so I think that actually gets right at the crux of what we're trying to get at. So what I was saying on Sunday was that a clear biblical understanding of heaven gives us perspective, it helps provide us endurance, it actually helps us live now. And I think what I said on Sunday that I think it bears repeating is that what we believe about heaven is not going to necessarily get us into heaven, but what we believe about heaven is going to help us live right now. Mm-hmm. And some people would say, as you pointed out, right? Okay, well, the Apostle Paul said, look, it's better to be apart from, you know, from here. Like if I desire to be apart, then why don't I be apart? Like, why am I living here? If heaven is real and it's this amazing place, then what's the point? Like, why am I sticking around here? And I think that if we have an understanding that heaven is something entirely different, then we may want to just go there right now. But when we understand heaven as the renewal of all things, as sort of a bookend to creation, where God looks around and says, hey, it's good. He has this promise that he will eventually make all things good. It actually causes us to live in the here and now, looking for opportunities to show other people these glimpses of heaven, helping people to see what the kingdom is like, so that we can sort of work towards this renewal, even in our own lives with people that are around us, so that we can paint a picture of God's renewal to come.
Yeah.
So there's two things that happen. One is evangelism. It allows us to share the good news with other people. Mm-hmm. It gives us this this motivation to want people to know more about who this Jesus is and what God's big plan is for the world. But I think it also helps us to really kind of like lay heaven in this like firm promise that God makes at the beginning of creation, where he promises to bring all things back together, to fix all the wrongs, to make everything right. And essentially what heaven is not some new place at the end of the story. It's a return to the old perfect place that he created in the beginning. See, God had this idea that he wanted to create, you know, perfect people in this perfect environment and perfect world. And through sin, all of this gets deteriorated. Mm-hmm. For him to just walk away is actually a betrayal of his own good conscience, because he's promised to make things right.
Right.
And so heaven is actually this turning of all of that gunk and making it back into the beautiful thing that he started with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this question of escapism, I've been just hearing you and thinking about what's a good analogy. Sometimes it feels a bit like we're watching a game play out in front of us. Dave's going to try a sports analogy. Forgive me.
Love it.
We're watching a game play out in front of us, and we know who wins. So like, we're like, well, let's get out of here early. Like, let's not watch the last inning, right? Because we know who, like, the game's done. We already understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's a misunderstanding of what our role is in this creation. We're actually on the team. And like, we were losing badly, and then the star player came along, and like, we didn't deserve the star player. I'm calling Jesus a sports person.
Yeah.
This is great. But like we play to the end so that we can learn, so that we can engage, we can get a picture of what this is like.
But the game's still on.
Yeah, exactly.
Like I think we have this idea that God sits there, he creates the world, things go badly because sin enters the world. Mm-hmm. And that is because a loving God has given us the ability to make a choice.
Yeah.
Right. And we have said, yeah, I got this. Right. And so because of our own pride, sin comes in, and then for human history, we have people who are trying to bring about heaven on earth in our own way, mm-hmm. because we think that we have a better option.
Right.
And so for some people, they would say, okay, well then that means that God is up there just shaking his head, completely disappointed, and just kind of waiting and waiting and seeing things go bad. Like, he's not waiting for us to get it right.
Mm.
He's not waiting for anything. In fact, he's working through our brokenness to continue to draw people to himself. Right. He loves us that much. And so right now is not an absence of God. Right now, God is present in the sense that he is continually working to draw people to himself, and he's using you and me to do it.
Right.
And so we have a job to do right now. The game is still going, right? And that's, you know, I think that's a crucial understanding.
And in some ways there's two sides of getting it wrong here. One is this escapism, like the world is, it's going to burn. I just need, like, I'm just going to bide my time and I'll be fine. And the other is this like overly confident engagement with creation and the world, saying like, I can fix it all and make it right without trusting in God and following his leading.
Right. Right?
And we're called in the middle to be ambassadors, to be following Jesus, watching what he's doing, being a part of making it right. Until he comes back, right? And until we get this fullness of things being recreated, until the broken relationships between, you know, us and us and mm-hmm. God and us and creation, all of those are made right again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's a pretty good answer as to why we shouldn't live kind of escapism.
Yeah, and I guess I would just finish with this, that when it comes to the, and we can dig into this, if you got more questions about it, you can push back, but when it comes to the idea of escapism, like the idea of like, and when I say escapism, that's just the, you know, we just want to get out of here. The idea of that is a misunderstanding of heaven and of God's big picture and big story.
Yeah.
Because when we don't understand it, it's like, well, that makes sense to me. But I would say, okay, there's more to the story. There's a reason that you are living right now. Mm-hmm. And so that matters.
Yeah, that's great. We had some other questions come in around eternity.
Yeah.
And like, I think these questions kind of get at like, what are we actually going to be doing? Because like eternity, like everything I can kind of picture sounds boring after a while. Like sounds like I want to get out of there. And like, certainly the Philadelphia cream cheese, like singing for all eternity, like hard pass. And I'm a worship leader. Like hard pass for me too. Don't worry, friends. But like, what is, we had someone who asked like, is eternity something that we kind of like came up with and we're like, hey God, we want to live for all time. And God was like, ooh, what do I do with that? Or like, where does this concept of eternity come from?
Right. And so I'm going to answer that question, but we're sort of like, we're sort of bleeding into next week's topic, which I think will really start to help clarify some of these things. And that is when we actually describe what heaven will be like. You know, what happens when I die?
Got it.
From a biblical perspective, because I think this is really important to understanding the question of what we will be doing and what that will look like. Someone asked the question about, you know, hey, are we going to be farmers? Because at the beginning, the Adam and Eve, Adam was a farmer. And I would say that the idea of heaven was not something that just came up, because people were like, hey, this would be a cool idea. What do you think about this? I think that in the book of Ecclesiastes, we're told that God has put this idea of eternity on our hearts. Mm. And I think it's important to know that all civilizations have often had this idea of an afterlife, you know, whether it's on a distant island or on the moon or on the, you know, in up in the sky or wherever, people have always had this idea of eternity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you might say, well, where does that come from? I think it comes from being made in the image of God, and God has given us, has put eternity into man's hearts. So that's where it starts. But I also think I go back to the picture that I'm trying to describe of God's promise and God's story from beginning to end. Mm-hmm. And so, if it were, if there was, there has to be a cohesive line all the way through.
Yeah.
And this is where I think that the story of creation and then the new creation in the end is really important as we kind of understand this, because what it shows us is that God has this promise that he's made that's yet to be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just, you know, heaven isn't just something that we've created. Heaven is a result of God's early promise to make everything right. And if he doesn't make everything right, then he's failed in his what he set out to do in the world. Okay. Right. So that's where I would say that. Now, when it comes to like, okay, well, what do we do when we're there? You know, obviously, and think maybe this, or maybe not obviously, but you know, Adam was a farmer because there was a garden to tend and rule over essentially.
Yeah.
But I think what is implanted in us is a spirit of creativity, and creation and recreation, and also this idea of a rulership where we are to rule. And that's something that we're going to get into a little bit later as well. And so what will we be doing? Many of those same things.
Right. And I want to just go back again to the Bible. So we've been talking about the story of creation. And so Adam and Eve created in the garden. And to say that, like in my mind, to say that Adam was just a farmer doesn't quite get at it. Like you said, like we see Adam doing things with creation, tending to it. And like we get this idea that it's very agrarian and kind of like we live in a technological world now, right?
Yeah.
But then you talked a little bit about the new heavens, the new earth, kind of this recreation, which we see in the book of Revelation.
Yep.
And we also see hints of it in other places. It talks about the new Jerusalem in Isaiah and other things. And these images we're given are actually the garden city. Mm-hmm. Which is this fascinating thing. And it can be hard to figure out, hard to translate, but I find it particularly compelling in the Old Testament, especially the city is viewed as this like particularly evil, particularly difficult place where human ingenuity kind of says the same thing we said in the Garden of Eden, I can do it on my own, and like becomes these really dark places. Mm-hmm. And in the end, what we're left with is this combination of like human ingenuity made right in the garden, the coming together of these things. And this recreation, which is just, to me, so very compelling. And I know you're going to get into this in the weeks to come.
Yeah, I know. And you know, if the Bible talks about it, that God's going to create the new heavens and the new earth, right? Mm-hmm. And, if I were to tell you that I was going to give you a new car, you would expect a car, right? Mm-hmm. You would expect it to have four wheels. It might be nicer than the one you've got, might have more technology, more bells and whistles. It might do things that you could never even imagine. Maybe it drives itself, mm-hmm. but you're still going to know it as a car, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing when it talks about the new heavens and the new earth. The new earth is still going to be something that's known, something mm-hmm. that you recognize, but it's going to be new. It's going to be changed right. and transformed. And so I think that that is the one thing that I think was the biggest light bulb for me. And again, we're going to get into that and you're probably like, wait, what? And,
yeah.
but just yeah. hang we're, on, we're going to get there. But that I think is the beauty of this, this perspective on heaven.
Yeah.
But I think I want to kind of get us back to this idea of how is it that thinking about things that are ahead or thinking about heavenly things actually changes the way we live now.
Yeah.
And that's the thing I want us to kind of, because I think when we start talking about heaven, it's easy to jump ahead, but mm-hmm. I do want to kind of get back to this idea of why does it matter? Because I think that in the end, you know, really helps us kind of foundationally kind of lean into what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. And I think sometimes answering these like maybe obscure and difficult questions or doing our best to answer them actually reminds us of the big picture. Well, so I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this on behalf of my father-in-law who is probably in yeah. heaven right now. And he would ask all the time, he would ask, is my dog going to be in heaven?
Yeah.
And wonderful man died a couple of years ago. And he asked all of us, myself, you, yeah. a number of pastors, and we all kind of fumbled our way through answers then.
Yeah.
Paul, how would you answer that question? Is my dog going to be in heaven?
I've shared this with you, you know, before, but I kind of feel like I wish I had a do-over on that question.
Yeah.
You know, because I know that at the heart of it, you know, with our friend Dan, who like, and many others, there's this longing for something that's going to bring us pure joy and the things that are on our minds and hearts that bring us joy. We wonder, are those things going to bring us, joy in the future?
Right.
And I would say on the one hand, absolutely the things that we see in this life that bring us pure joy and delight, even just cuddling on the couch with our dog. If you are a dog person, if you are not a dog person, you can ignore this. But my point is that the things that bring us joy are actually snapshots and pictures of heaven to come. And those things are gifts. They're not just sort of things that are on the side and like, oh yeah, that just, you know, it's like whatever. No, that is a gift and a picture of what God is going to do in heaven times 1,000 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the question about, you know, am I going to see my pet in heaven? I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't, you know, it's the kind of thing that God would do to bring us joy. Yeah. It's, you know, the idea that, you know, he surprises us in so many different ways. And boy, we are going to get into all this. It's so hard because we're just on the cusp of it. Like, what is it? What about animals? And what about, you know, the created world and all that kind of stuff. But I would say that the things that bring you joy in this life, are not just, you know, everything's going to pass away. There is a sense in which this is a reminder and a picture for you of what's to come. And yeah. I think that brings us hope. That brings us hope.
Yeah. And there are so many good places we could go from here and so many questions. I hope as you've been listening along today, I hope you've noted some of the questions that come up for you. We want to be able to answer them in weeks to come or do our best to take our best guesses at some of these and then to point all of us back to the scripture, to the promises that we do know. And Paul, I just so appreciate again your reminder that like a right picture of heaven will help us live better here and now. It affects things deeply. Doesn't mean we just knowing it doesn't mean we're getting there, but if we trust Jesus, we can, and it's so good. So any closing thoughts for us before we take a break until next week?
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, there will come a time when you are standing next to a hospital bed, right? Yeah. There will come a time when you are standing next to a grave. There will come a time when you are so broken by injustice in the world that it causes you to question whether God is good. And I think that in those moments, we need to be reminded that heaven is real. And and when we start to think about our picture of heaven, my encouragement to you is let's solidify what we understand heaven to be, because there are real world consequences and you know, changes that happen in our lives because of a right understanding of God. Mm. And my prayer is that when we have those moments that are so shocking and so difficult, that we can lean back on a really solid understanding of what heaven is, so that we can find hope, so that we can find perseverance, and so that we can find exactly what we need to get through what we're facing.
Amazing. Thanks for listening along to Postscript. We'll be back next week with more.